Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Oh, hi. Before we start the show, here's Stephanie Miller to talk about Omaha Steaks.
Well, make home your favorite new restaurant this winter with Omaha Steaks delivered straight to your door. Have you ever wondered what makes Omaha Steaks so good? It's the aging process. Omaha Steaks aged at least 21 days. That's where the magic happens. Try these mouthwatering steaks in the Butcher's Best Sellers package. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter that promo code VOICES into the search bar to save over 50% and secure exclusive pricing. Included in the Butcher's Best Sellers package are 4 iconic fork tender Butcher's Cut filet mignons, 4 ultra juicy burgers, 4 savory pork chops, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 rich and decadent caramel apple tartlets, and so much more. In addition to getting more than 50% off, you also get 4 more chicken breasts, 4 more of those delicious burgers for free. All you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com, type VOICES in the search bar, order the Butcher's Best Sellers package today, save over 50%, plus get 4 chicken breast, 4 burgers from the company that's been bringing people together for over 100 years, omahasteaks.com. Type VOICES in that search bar at omahasteaks.com.
Thank you, Stephanie, and now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Mr. Key Rock, are you ready to give your summation?
It's just Key Rock, Your Honor, and yes, I'm ready. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm just a caveman. I fell in some ice and later got thawed out by some of your scientists. Your world frightens and confuses me. Sometimes the honking horns of your traffic make me want to get out of my BMW and run off into the hills or whatever. Sometimes when I get a message on my fax machine, I wonder, did little demons get inside and type it? I don't know. My primitive mind can't grasp these concepts. But there is one thing I do know. When a man, like my client, slips and falls on a sidewalk in front of a public library, then he is entitled to no less than $2 million in compensatory damages. And $2 million in punitive damages.
Bob Seska!
Is that the full poop?
And nothing but the poop.
The Bob Seska Show!
Yeah, maybe the funniest man ever in the history of Saturday Night Live. The great Phil Hartman there is the unfrozen caveman lawyer. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, February 11, 2021. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, day 23 of the Biden-Harris administration. 635 days until the 22 midterms. Oh my God, and here they come. Is the goth ninjas, or as they say south of the border, ninjas gothicas.
Oh, I like that.
That's actually the actual, it's the translation. It is Jody Hamilton from the Bunker podcast, from -the-bunker.com, also at sexyliberal.com, and the Stephanie Miller Show, stephaniemiller.com, every Tuesday, and David T-Rex Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast. patreon.com/thetrexreport, also astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Lots to talk about today. Goth ninjas.
Do we need to get sworn in?
Yeah, let's do the swearing in at this point, and then we shall move on. As long as Senator Pat Leahy lets us proceed. Pat, is it okay? Can we move ahead? Thank you. Thank you, Senator Leahy.
Before I forget,
by the way, I'm so glad that Jody laughed at that joke, because I was like, I'm going way out on a limb here making fun of Pat Leahy.
I know, it was so perfect.
So, David, what were you saying, David?
Well, I don't even remember now. No,
it's going to be one of those shows.
The Sad Season's lyric video is ready, and it's going to go up tomorrow at Bandcamp.
Oh, that's great.
And it's beautifully done by an animator named Ellie Maven.
Excellent.
Do you know about the concept of synesthesia? People who like see sounds and
synesthesia. Yeah, people who see sounds. You know what? I kind of see sounds. I don't know
The video is like. It's the most close capturing of any of my music as a visual medium I've ever seen in my entire life.
And again, where can people find that? Where is it?
At astralsummer.bandcamp.com.
Oh, okay. So it's right there on your Bandcamp page. Great. It will be. Well, that's really exciting. Let's see. Where do we start here? You know, Donald Trump has been permanently banned from Twitter. And not just we knew that he was gone. We knew that this was the end for him. But we weren't sure whether or not it was going to be permanent. I got the sense that at some point, and he may still do this, I kind of figured that at some point he was going to sue to get his Twitter account back somehow. Like, somehow he was going to be able to use his lawyers to muscle Twitter to get him to be reinstated. But Jack Dorsey is it. Yeah, Jack Dorsey with his gigantic beard and everything has said that, no, this is a permanent ban. He's not coming back. Even if he runs for president, he's not going to be coming back to Twitter. And that's great. Here's the thing. I was looking at The Atlantic this morning and came across an article by Yahoo News national correspondent Alexander Nazarian. And oh my God, has he pissed me off. He's written a piece in The Atlantic in which he laments the end of the pulse-pounding and exciting, thrilling Trump administration. The article is titled, "I Was an Enemy of the People," but it was, I think it was originally titled, let me see, where's the link here? "I Miss the Thrill of Donald Trump."
Jesus.
And oh, that's the general point. I think they changed
the
headline.
It's the difference between seeing people escape from a burning car and actually having to fight your way out of a burning car.
Right, right.
You know, it's pulse pounding, but I don't want to do it every day.
Yeah, he says here, "I miss it already. I miss it terribly. Even if I miss little else about the past 4 years, without quite meaning to, Trump reminded journalists that their relationship to power should be adversarial. I hope my colleagues in the press corps," I'm a national correspondent for Yahoo News, "remember that as some pressure of pre-Trumpian courtliness returns to the White House briefing room." So he was really into the Twitter feed, and he was into all of the crazy blurts and things like that. And I use that word, he says here, "I use that word thrill with full intention. No need to tell me about the cruel immigration policy, the incompetent pandemic response, the racism and bigotry, the frightening chaos. Quote, we never gave you time. We kept the foot on the gas," a top former
never
West Wing staffer told him. Yeah, he just yada-yadded all the worst things. That's what he just did there. And I don't know if that was his intention, but that's how it comes across. It's just like, oh, well, we're going to put that over here on the side. We're not going to talk about those things. We're just going to say, oh, my God, I missed the chaos. Oh,
but
shit.
This is the whole chrysalis like John King kind of, it's like a big horse race thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're white, privileged, straight guys with no skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, they're just watching the rest of us try to shatter the passenger side window to climb out of the overturned burning car.
Well, it's really
that. Isn't this exciting?
Yeah. I mean, it's really of that caliber. It's like someone surviving cancer and going, oh my God, I missed the thrill of the chemo and not knowing whether I was going to die. Is it going to be this percentage of survival? Or am I going to survive 3 years or 5 years? No one thinks that. That's insane. That's an insane way to think. The last 4 or 5 years have been a blight on American history. It has been one of the darkest chapters. I mean, there have been dark chapters within the dark chapter. I mean,
and Jen Psaki is bringing it.
Yeah. She is.
Yeah. Well, he continues here saying, covering the administration was thrilling for many journalists in the way that I imagine storming Omaha Beach must have been for a 20-year-old fresh from the plains of Kansas.
They would have been terrified. What the fuck?
Of course they would have.
He's seen too many war movies.
Yeah. See, now this is one of the things I've been afraid of for a long time. And this is a little bit of verification of it. It's not full verification of my concerns, but I've been worried that there is a strain inside the Beltway in the DC kind of cocktail circuit crowd that really doesn't take any of this shit seriously. That we're the suckers going, oh my God, what a fucking travesty happened. Oh my God, the damage happening in Washington right now. And everyone inside is going, well, this is a fun little game we're playing on the outsiders. You know, it's just, it's terrifying to think that.
Did you mean to evoke Bill Barr right then?
Did I really do? Did I do a part?
It felt very Bill Barr to me. This is a funny little game we're playing on the outsiders.
Yeah, we're totally screwing it. We're making us believe this is a big crisis, and it's not. We're just having fun. We're just play acting here. This is like a murder mystery party. No, it's not. It's real.
To me, it's like the storm chaser tourist people that go to chase around tornadoes. I mean, and never mind the devastation. Station on the side of the road. The people bleeding and their houses destroyed. It's like, look, it's an F4. Run, let's catch it. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I understand how journalists have to be dispassionate. This is what they do. They're there to report the facts. They're not there to take a particular posture on something. But sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, as Stephen Colbert says, reality has a well-known liberal bias. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, the facts line up with a more left of center series of values. And that's just automatic. Yeah, it's part of the game.
One of the things that Trump did was made the journalists, like made the press part of the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he sucked in the fourth wall and said this fourth wall is lying to you or whatever. I'm probably badly damaging that metaphor. The third estate, fifth column, whoever
fourth
we are.
Fourth estate.
But what I think Alexander over there at The Atlantic is missing is being centered in the dialogue like that.
Right.
Because, you know, they really shouldn't be talking about us. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be, you know, that we should be talking, well, we should be talking about policy.
Yeah.
We should be talking about humanity and legality and real concerns to the republic, mm-hmm. not, you know, whether or not Mika had a facelift.
Yeah. Right.
So.
Well, this part of it here, what I'm about to read, is, I would say, partly true. I think there's some real truth to this. He says, both the resistance and MAGA nation assigned journalists far more power than we truly had. A journalist's brief is not to take down a president or to act like the opposing party, nor outside of North Korea is a journalist's job to lavish a country's leader with hagiographic rhetoric. Yeah, well, see, we all know this. We all agree with this. The problem is that when facts are deliberately ignored, to either suit an agenda or to increase your hipster cred as a journalist or some other motivation, that's when it gets really annoying. Or when news stories are selected specifically in order to telegraph a bias without being opinion. That's what they do on Fox News Channel. They select, while the news programming on Fox News isn't necessarily opinion or overtly biased, what they do is they choose news stories that lead you in the direction of going, man, those Democrats are full of shit. And oh my God, the Republicans, man, they're America's party. That's the overall vibe that you get. It's not overt.
Yeah,
it's
that's just what I was saying last week when we said, you know, even when they're doing straight reporting, they're doing it from a skewed perspective.
Well, there are some solid journalists who somehow have landed at Fox News, like John Roberts. I have a little bit of respect for John Roberts. I think he's a decent journalist. He has not always worked at Fox News Channel. He's not necessarily part of that mindset, but he works there. And so you have to look at his reporting with your eyes open. You have to kind of question a little more based on where he is and how the exec producers there and so on will roll out his stories and in what context they'll be presented. Because it's not necessarily about what he's saying. It's just with the John Roberts example. It's not necessarily what he's saying. It's the context in which he's saying it. Is there some sort of broader theme that we're seeing overarching throughout all of the news stories that are being reported, and that John Roberts is just a piece of that puzzle? I mean, that's entirely possible too.
Yeah. There was a moment last week with Speaker Pelosi that just, I mean, it gave me frostbite. When you've probably seen it by now, where she was in the press conference and they were like, you know, Lindsey Graham says they're going to call on the FBI. And she just says, your question is a waste of time.
Yeah.
And Gersh said it. Oh, it was so beautiful. And I'm just saying that all the time now. I was like at Starbucks and I was like, I need a medium coffee. And they were like, do you mean grande? And I was like, your question is a waste of time. You know?
It's like, I bring it up again. I think I just made this reference last week. It's like that sketch on SNL in 1984 with Jesse Jackson. And it was a game show called The Question is Moot. It does not matter. The question is moot. And it's just because the word moot is moot. Fun to say.
Or as Sarah Palin would say, the question is mute.
Mute. Exactly. But speaking of Nancy Pelosi, I noticed during the coverage yesterday, and by coverage I mean to say the House manager's case against Donald Trump, they noted that the guy who was sitting at Nancy Pelosi's desk with his feet up on the desk, I'm not going to say his name, I tried desperately.
With his crackhead eyes.
Yeah, it's just he looks like, you know, white trash. I know I'm not supposed to say that, Facebook. Zuckerberg says that's bad, it's mean, it's biased towards white people, but fuck it. White trash. This guy
just
was white trash.
Yeah. He just looks like trash.
Right. Well, he had on his person, he had a 950,000-volt stun gun. It was basically like a cattle prod.
That is officially a cattle prod.
And that's the thing he was using to carry around in the Speaker of the House's office. You know, one of the most sacred rooms in that entire goddamn building. It's one of the only offices that are actually right there inside the Capitol building proper, not in one of the ancillary buildings on the outskirts of that property. But Lindsey Graham, you mentioned Lindsey Graham a second ago. Let's talk about Lindsey Graham.
Ugh. Only if I'm allowed to hiss like a cat.
Please do. Yes. Please do. So Lindsey Graham, after watching everything that took place yesterday, the entire case being made by the House managers, tweeted the following. The not guilty vote is growing after today. Mm-mm. I think most Republicans.
I disagree.
I think most Republicans found the presentation by the House managers offensive and absurd.
Absurd. That's a great word to use.
Yeah. Well, of course, videos
of. You gotta do it in his voice, though. Offensive and absurd.
I think the most Republicans found the presentation of the House managers both offensive and absurd.
And absurd. Oh, my.
You got a little too much Corky from.
Waiting for Guffman.
Right, right.
What I need is $100,000.
Lindsay's adenoidal. He's got that permanent pollen from the southern.
You're bastard people.
So funny. Videos of senators and staff running for their lives. They were running for their lives.
That's
Mitt
absurd.
Romney running for his life. As an army of crazy people stormed the Capitol to assassinate as many of them as possible. And it was the managers who were the offensive ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is, again, going back to my ongoing narrative of half this fucking country, or at least half of the voting population, has lost touch with the difference between right and wrong. They don't know anymore. And whether it's performative or whether it's deeply pathological, doesn't fucking matter. The effect is still the same. Mm-hmm. Lindsey Graham mixing up which part of what we've been watching for the last 2 days was offensive. It wasn't the video of these crazy fucking Confederates and racists and white trash and all the rest of these insurrectionist terrorists invading the Capitol. But that wasn't the offensive part.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
I did giggle a little bit at Chuck Schumer. I was like, I saw him run by like it was like a Three Stooges sketch, and it was just like, Chuck Schumer hasn't run that fast since they skipped his number at Katz's Deli.
I didn't see the video. There's video of Chuck Schumer.
They went down this one corridor in a fairly organized cordon with Secret Service guys, and then they came boiling back out of there because it was like the wrong direction.
Yeah. And then they locked the doors behind him. It's quite...
That it's scary, Mitt Romney. But without the sound,
I know.
It's a little funny.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is the Mitt Romney one is even more disturbing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it was just like, whoa. Because you know what Goodman's doing there. Is move now. They're on their way. Move.
Yeah. I love the idea. I think Malcolm Nance brought this up yesterday. Make a statue of Eugene Goodman. Put it in the statuary hall. That's absolutely mandatory. That needs to happen. Brian Sicknick as well. Because these guys, through their actions that day, may have saved God knows how many lives. I mean, there was chance. The insurrectionists wanted to lock the members of Congress in the chamber and then somehow turn on the gas.
They said, look, we're going to get them in the tunnels. We're going to seal the tunnels and then turn on gas.
Like, where were they going to get the gas? That's my question. Like,
maybe they had it on their person. There were a lot of guys with backpacks.
Yeah, sarin gas, you can transport. I mean, if they had... There was a cult in Japan, and I can't remember the name of it right now.
Oh, I remember that.
Of course. And they staged a couple of sarin gas attacks on subway tunnels.
Oh, right.
It killed a lot of people.
I remember that.
Because, and it's not that hard to make.
Mm-hmm.
It's a neurotoxin, and it starts basically with castor beans, which are easy enough to grow in anyone's garden. But
no, I mean, they easily could have had that on them, and there was chatter that they're going into the tunnels, and you can see all the, I've been under parts of DC. I've been in some of those tunnels before, and they're easily sealed off.
Yeah.
And you got nowhere to go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The worst possible way to die is being permanently trapped inside an underground tunnel and asphyxiating to death. That's exactly what many of these insurrectionists wanted to happen. Tom Cotton was desperately scrambling to find a firearm because they were descending upon his area, too, where he was. And so he was trying to find a gun to defend himself. Of course he was. But again, this is the Republicans were in just as much danger as the Democrats were. I don't think the insurrectionists were distinguishing between the two. Clearly, they were going after Democratic leadership primarily, but they also wanted Mike Pence, obviously. We heard a video yesterday or somebody.
They would have recognized, first off, they would have recognized Chuck Schumer, Mitt Romney, Mike Pence, Lindsey Graham. Mitt Romney would have been killed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he voted to impeach. He voted to convict already once. He would have been murdered.
Yeah.
Because he's so recognizable.
But you guys would be amazed. I mean, if we have to continue to look at this through the lens of an abused family. And it is amazing what people will just blank.
Oh, yeah.
If it doesn't suit the narrative that's being established and that's power, it gives the power to their abuser, that people will just like, that didn't happen. And the video evidence, and it's, you know, and Lindsey Graham is playing, you know, the cat's paw here just by saying, you know, look, you know, dad's right. He didn't do any of those things. And it is really offensive you to bring it up. You're trying to break up this family.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, ugh.
Yeah, it's all the worst arguments, the worst possible arguments. Yeah. Hey, don't call the cops on the spousal abuser because it's only going to make the spousal abuser more violent. You know,
that's what the defense attorneys were saying the other day. Hey, if you vote to convict, we're going to have that again.
God damn it. It's like a threat. It's like that's a literal threat is what that is. That is madness. God, it's amazing. They are so utterly shameless. Making things worse. Fox News Channel, prime time, making things worse. Tucker Carlson making things worse. Just throwing more gas on the fire. Here's more gasoline.
We've got to destroy Fox News. I mean, I hope this $1 billion lawsuit.
Yeah.
Goes through, it's going to get settled out of court, though they always do. Fox News never goes to deposition. But I feel like the American people should be able to take some kind of retaliatory action as a result of their misinformation in the middle of a public health crisis.
Right, right.
It's we were having a cholera crisis, and they were like, don't boil your water. Just drink it straight from the ground, you know? It seems to me that they should be criminally liable.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about this. In fact, I've mentioned it a few times on the show, and I've received some comments from some people on Patreon about this exact observation, which is that, you know, I feel like Fox News primetime needs to be held accountable to some degree. And people have been explaining to me, thank you very much, that... well, their opinion shows, so you have not as much of a legal basis to go after an opinion show as you do a news show. Well, that's not the idea.
But the network is called Fox News.
Right, right. They are presenting their opinions as fact and saying they can back it all up with facts that are not,
and it's
that don't exist. Yeah,
they're just like news with chyrons and bulletins.
Still, it's not just about taking legal action against a news source. There are other ways to go about this. I mean, in the wake of January 6th, in the wake of the insurrection, you had corporations going, you know what, we're not going to give our money to those people anymore. We're not going to make any donations to Republicans who voted against the certification of the vote in Congress. So why is it impossible to take the same posture with Fox News primetime and say, we're not going to advertise on those shows anymore, to the point where they have to go dark every 20 minutes on those shows because they've got no sponsors anymore. And then suddenly they have to cut their salaries or maybe eliminate some of those shows, eliminate Laura Ingraham or eliminate Tucker Carlson. I don't think Kennedy's going to go anywhere. He's like a cockroach, but you know,
I like thinking about Tucker Carlson getting sent off to a nice farm upstate.
Where he can run free.
Where he can run and run.
Chase rabbits with Lou Dobbs.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think that, with this $2.7 billion lawsuit, I don't think Jeanine Pirro is long for Fox News. And I think they're going to start, they're looking at these people's contracts, is what their legal department, they obviously could get Lou Dobbs out easily because maybe his contract is up already and they were in negotiation. So boom,
it's up in February.
There you go. So, I mean, that was easy to get rid of him. They're looking at her, right now to see, okay, can we fire her under what grounds? To me, it's under moral grounds. I know there's a morals clause. There has to be. And they're caught, you know, she's out. And maybe if people start pulling their money, I mean, the ratings are falling through the floor right now anyway. It's just... We can't, unfortunately, because Fox News, OAN, and Newsmax are all not broadcast channels, the FCC doesn't have control over them.
Nope, they do not.
And now we could potentially change those rules.
Those rules need to be changed.
And the reason that they're not under those rules is because you have to pay for cable. With ABC, NBC, your broadcast stations, that's for everybody.
I mean, at the very least, in the meantime, even short of that, just to get the ball rolling, I mean, we know what Twitter can do. See also Gina Carano. We know what can happen when Twitter goes, all right, enough already. And then somehow the heads end up rolling. And that's what needs to happen. And of course, I don't mean that literally, Republicans. Right. I'm saying that figuratively.
Okay, wait, a bunch of people out there do not know who Gina Carano is.
Gina Carano, well, I was just a throwaway anyway. I hadn't intended to talk about it too much, but she's one of the stars of The Mandalorian.
She compared being a Republican to Jews being killed by Nazis.
Yeah, she was liking and retweeting a lot of weird shit. And and Disney is like, Disney Lucasfilm
is thinking.
Yeah, she was basically, because I guess she's a Trump supporter, I assume. And she's like, and they're treating me like the Jews were treated in Germany in the 30s and 40s. It's like, no.
Yeah, yeah. And so what happened, she was up for her own show, her own spinoff from The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And even back in December, Disney was kind of like, all right, well, because of these tweets, we're not going to announce her show during this rollout. So they didn't. And that was back 2 months ago. Yep. And she had 2 months in order to write this situation, to save her own career in television.
She's going to have so much of a bigger career as I was canceled by the left. She is going to be a superstar for them.
Well, she's already an MMA superstar, so she gets all her money through that source. But, you know, what were you going to say, Jody?
And she lost her agent. UTA dropped her.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, again, it's just dumbness on top of the awfulness of some of her views. But, I mean, the lack of judgment is one of the things that always makes me go, like, what the fuck? You're on the most successful television show on TV right now. I mean, it's one of the biggest things to happen, certainly in the Star Wars universe, if not all of streaming television. And you have...
Well, don't you see the correlation, though? I mean, once people... When you're on the number one show on television and you've been an insecure, self-doubting person all your life, and all of a sudden everyone's deferring to you like you're 13th century nobility, it's what happens to senators. Suddenly you feel like, well, oh yeah, I am super smart.
Yeah.
I got here because I worked hard. And and you tell yourself, it's a meritocracy, and you just open your mouth and say some real stupid shit.
Yeah,
because
it's just dumb that she didn't like her handlers.
Mm-hmm.
She needed her agents should have been like, seriously, you're gonna get axed.
Yeah,
you need to control yourself. If you think that way, that's fine. Just don't fucking project it out to the planet if you want to keep your job.
Yes,
I mean it's just dumb. It's just dumb on her part. It's her manager, her agents, and herself. Obviously, she's a grown woman. She has choices. But I mean, if I were her publicist, I'd be like, dude, what are you thinking?
She thinks she was going to be the one person to like that kind of crap and get away with it. No. Mm-hmm. That's not how. Especially when you have the visibility of being Gina Carano from The Mandalorian. I mean, it's just, again, it's such a pain in the ass because the lack of judgment is just soul crushing and irritating and all kinds of other pejoratives.
Think of how the job of a PR person has, in the age of Instagram and Twitter, and has just completely metastasized into constant stress. You know,
damage control.
It used to be you had a certain valve between your celebrity and their public, and now they're just like, you know, tweeting things at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
There's a show with what's her face from the stupid Southern Gothic vampire show. I'm giving absolutely no information here. Flack. Have you guys seen any of that?
No,
are you talking about True Blood it's called Flack?
No, it's a new show that she's in called Flack. Yeah.
I watched the first couple episodes and I can already tell it's going to be just like the whole Buffy and Angel thing where I'm like, would you guys just please let go of this? And or like with Scandal where I didn't give a shit about her relationship with the president. I wanted to watch her kick ass and solve problems and yell at celebrities. You know?
Speaking of Buffy and Angel, Joss Whedon's in a lot of trouble.
He's in a lot of trouble with charisma right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
She was my favorite character. She was the character that every time she would make a huge one-liner, everybody in the room that was watching Buffy would turn and look at me. You know, like...
I got to meet her, obviously over a year ago. She was on John Fugelsang's show when he was out here. And he asked me and Dana to come down.
Oh.
And so I got to meet and be on his show with Charisma and Dana. She's lovely.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's just a lovely, super smart and lovely human.
Well, she was saying the director Joss Whedon was verbally abusive on set. And it confirms what the actor who played Cyborg in Justice League has been saying for quite some time now, which is that...
And other people from the shows are backing her up. They're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is like, I'm proud of the work I did as Buffy, but I do not want to go down as Buffy associated forever with that brand, which was a lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody yesterday on one of my feeds was like, what genre do you think most glorifies materialism and shallow, superficial success? And I didn't know they were talking about music. And I wrote Marvel Comics Universe because it's so like pro-war industrial complex, blah, blah, billionaire. And then where they're like...
Have you seen the movies, David?
Yeah, kind of. But I mean, I don't know. It just... I don't know. We'll go to break while everyone decides that they hate me now because I don't like this movie.
I'm not going there. I have learned so many lessons especially over the past year in terms of sticking my nose and arguing about these movies that I love so much. And the outcome is never, ever good. It's always just me getting sweaty and irritated.
All I know is I'm enjoying WandaVision.
Yes, me too.
I infinitely prefer the values of the Star Trek universe.
Oh, well, yeah, that's noble. I think, yeah, it is a great universe. It was one of the first woke TV shows in the history of television. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody's really rich. Like, I mean, because Tony Stark, a huge portion of his superpower, I'm listening to too many Irish books on tape. a huge portion of his superpower is just that he's fucking rich as shit.
Yeah, but his arc is that
he's a fucking wartime capitalist.
He starts out that way. His arc does not end that way.
Well, he's not anymore, but he didn't end up that way.
That's the thing. This is, oh my God, this gets me started on Last Jedi and people misunderstanding Luke's character in Last Jedi.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to throw a rock into this pond.
This is not good because I will spend the rest, I swear to God, I'll spend the rest of the next hour and a half talking about this. We'll be back right after these words.
No!
Aisier, that is AISIER. What is it? Luxurious modern sleepwear for the independent woman. Their sleepwear is made from 100% washable silk. Oh, silk is known to reduce skin surface moisture loss and limit skin irritation. Best of all, it's comfortable, so lightweight, it feels like a second skin. It'll keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summer with a fabric that loves your skin all year round. And in every type of weather, wearing silk to sleep is simply therapy at night. Aisier is owned by an amazing woman, a single mom. Their products are made right here in California. You can feel good about supporting a small business delivering high-quality products. Now is the perfect time. Treat yourself or a loved one to something extra special to sleep and lounge in during Aisier's Valentine's sale. Go to shopaisier.com/discount/Stephanie. Use the discount code Stephanie, 10% off your order. That's shopaisier.com/discount/Stephanie. Use that code Stephanie for 10% off your order.
The Bob Seska Show.
Man's souls on
Oh my God, I love this song. This is Bill Toms and Hard Rain. Brand new single. It's called Man's Soul is on Trial. It's from his brand new album, Keep Moving On, which drops on April 30. So the album's not even out, but you can download the first single right now at BillToms.com and everywhere you get your digital music. Again, Bill Toms. That's T-O-M-S. Holy God. I love his voice. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Chris Rea. And this is just some wonderful stuff. Again, Bill Toms and Hard Rain. Holy crap. Link in the description at BobSeska.com. Also, BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit. Okay, so we're done talking about comic book movies. At least most of our listeners are hoping that we are. Because there's still lots more to talk about when it comes to politics. So here's a question for both of you. Here's a question for the room. And this is not my question. I noticed this on Twitter earlier today, but I thought I'd present it to everybody. If Romney or Pence had been murdered at the Capitol, would the GOP still acquit Donald Trump?
I think yes.
No.
Really? Okay. Let's hear from Joey. Wait,
okay. Pence, yes. Romney, no.
Okay. Pence?
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that.
Let's say the entire Republican leadership of Congress had been killed. I think they would still vote to acquit Donald Trump. I think they would make a stronger case against the insurrectionists. I think they would be screaming about the insurrectionists, but then they would stop short of going after Donald Trump. These are soulless people. These people are devoid of core values.
I can't play this game. I think that this is when unintended consequences and synergistic effects come into play.
What do you mean?
You know, I mean, well, just this would like be burning. If Mike Pence or Nancy Pelosi had been murdered that day, it would be like the burning of the Reichstag. I mean, it would be the beginning of the most.
And he would have declared martial law. He would have had a right to do it, and he would have done it, and that would have been very bad.
Hmm.
Yeah.
On top of everything else that was going on, I think that I think we've got 5 to 6 people that will vote to convict on the GOP side.
Mm-hmm.
We may get more.
Yeah.
After today, because I've just noticed they, Jamie Raskin played a montage of all of the violence over the past 4 years that Trump has encouraged. Not
Did
just
play the
montage
kids. Song from Team America.
They're showing Charlottesville.
It's a montage.
Yeah, no shit. No, but
I'm
no,
sorry.
it's
disrespectful.
They're showing. They showed Charlottesville.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're Jamie Raskin is going. It just wasn't that speech. It was 4 years of this.
God, I'm so glad he said that, because that's what I've been screaming about for some time now. Is that this wasn't the first Trump insurrection? There is many, and you all have listened to the show for the past few weeks. Know this speech. I'm not going to do it again. But there have been other insurrections that have been prompted.
You can do it again.
What's that?
It's a good speech.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have the House Republicans led by Matt Gaetz, who is Donald Trump's little boy wonder, who, with his giant head, led the other Republicans to storm that skiff during that closed door, top secret meeting of the Intelligence Committee.
But I mean, in his giant prawn head. I mean, he's like. He's the size of his head is so, and it just like pokes out in all. I don't know. And he seems to be like getting more bizarre looking. Mm-hmm. Like as his evil gets more crystallized, he becomes more and more of a Dick Tracy villain every time I look at him.
Yeah, wasn't there a 7-Up mascot who was an elf? That's what Matt Gaetz looks like. Matt Gaetz looks like the 7-Up elf from 1956 or whatever it was. So there was that invasion of the skiff. That was the first kind of let's test the ground with some sort of defying of the rules here, because fuck it, we're Republicans. We need to support Donald Trump no matter what. And then the next insurrection was, of course, Liberate Michigan, Liberate Virginia, Liberate Ohio, and all the red hats storming those buildings, and which culminated in the attempted torture and assassination of Gretchen Whitmer. That was the second insurrection. Well, I mean, there was,
you know, I want to say something.
And then you have Charlottesville in the mix, too, as one of the first kind of events that felt like it was moving in that direction. You felt like there was going to be some sort of physical violent uprising by these easily led automatons, these fucking maniacs who have been radicalized by Fox News Channel and 4chan and Breitbart. And that was their first attempt to say, we are asserting ourselves as a movement here, and you're not going to be able to stop us. Oh, and by the way, we're renting cars and driving them into crowds and using them as
the thing that no one is talking about is all the women, Gretchen Whitmer, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, anyone that they could have gotten their hands on before they murdered them, they would have raped them.
Oh, yeah.
And those women knew, you know, they know that.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi. I mean, because rape is, you know, it is a primary tool of war crime, of terrorizing civilian populaces. And it's something that, like, I don't hear anybody talking about because, we don't want to talk about that. But every woman in that building...
Oh, absolutely.
Was terrified that that was going to happen to her that day.
Again, we have to go back to the concept of if this had been a foreign army, if this had been some sort of overseas-based terrorist cell that invaded the Capitol, we would be bombing shit right now. And that's exactly what would have happened. But because it was American...
Yeah, if it had been Black Lives Matter people...
Yeah. Yeah.
They would have like, never gotten that far.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it just wouldn't have happened. And I mean, people have said this prior to myself, and so I will be repeating others. Osama bin Laden didn't fly any planes into any buildings.
Nope.
He just helped organize it.
That's right.
He helped put the seed of the hatred into those people's minds.
That's right.
Charlie Manson
didn't do anything. And I actually met Vince Bugliosi years ago at a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And I fangirled all over him. He was really obviously very nice. But, you know, to get the death penalty for a man, and I'm against the death penalty, putting out 100% of the time, but to get the death penalty imposed on a person that was not at either of those murders is a hell of a lawyer, first off. And he proved that Manson was the mastermind over that because he had cult-like, you know, presence over these people.
That's right.
And just said, hey, let's go, you know, A, wanted to start a race war, and two, he wanted to get, you know, the pigs and the rich folks and yada, yada, yada.
The Fox News is trying to both sides of this thing by going after other members of Congress, Democrats, who were using, you know, motivating language during rallies.
Like,
and saying,
stand up and fight.
We have to go and we have to surround them and so on. But that's...
The difference, though, is not one of those people actually incited any violence.
That's exactly right. And also, the left isn't prone to violence.
No.
And of course, any Trump supporter who's trolling this show right now is going to go, what about Antifa? Well,
Antifa's
first of all,
not a thing.
I don't know that it actually exists, one. And two, there hasn't been anything like what happened on January 6th ever in the history of this country, going back at least to the War of 1812 when the British Army stormed the Capitol and burned down
the White House. They'll point to Baltimore. They'll point to the, you know, the riots after the murder, the murder of unarmed black men that, you know, led to like targets getting burned.
Yeah, but that's not the same.
That's not the U.S. Capitol.
And cops weren't murdered.
And the buildings were empty.
It was vandalism. It was not right. And they were all arrested. Thank you very much.
Yes.
But there was not one person saying, you should do that. There was not a big giant speechifier that happened to be, say, I don't know, Maxine Waters or whomever else, or Cory Booker of all people, standing at those rallies saying, go get the Target, go get the CVS. Nobody said that.
Yeah. Plus, you never hear about left-wing militias. I'm not aware of any left-wing militia where they're doing the military cosplay and they're buying the tactical
gear
from Facebook.
That hasn't been around since the
60s. That's because they keep their mouths shut.
Yeah.
Well, no, and I mean, in the 60s, that's funny. Well, in the 60s, I mean, there were left-wing groups that were anti-war that turned violent.
Yeah.
But that's the last that happened was in the late 60s. It has not happened since then.
Cliff Schechter was on the show yesterday, and we were talking about this exact subject, and I couldn't help but to go back to the videos that we have seen produced by Republicans, whether campaign ads or just videos that they've made as part of their branding and so on. But we've seen so many videos, especially over the last 10, 15 years, in which Republicans are shown solving problems using their AR-15s, where there was one video, I've linked to it on my article for the Banter newsletter at thebanter.substack.com. There's one video of Rand Paul shooting the tax code with an AR-15. Because I don't like the tax code. We want to cut taxes. So let's put the tax code up in this target range and just shoot it. And then there were so many campaign ads too. I selected a few choice ones, but where they're taking, like, printing out a copy of the Affordable Care Act and then shooting it with a gun or blowing it up or some other form of physical destruction of the legislation. These are people who claim to love democracy, but who don't understand what the fuck democracy even is. Democracy isn't about shooting the stuff that you don't like. It's not about murdering the things you don't like or the politicians you don't like. It is about arguing using words and votes to make change in the direction you want it to go. That's what democracy is all about. Whoever can come up with the best words has the upper hand. Well,
I'm surprised nobody in 2020 campaigned on shooting the coronavirus. I'm surprised.
Yeah. Well,
you know, but here's a fun fact about Rand Paul.
Okay.
You know, when his neighbor attacked him and he yelled, "Oh my God, somebody help, help!" All the rest of his neighbors ran out and started beating up Rand Paul too.
There you go. So, you know, I think this trial might be breaking through the Fox News bubble, and this speaks to what we can expect as far as a vote, or maybe not. I have no idea. I'm just going
to
assume.
I think that there are five senators on the GOP side that are going to vote to convict.
Yes.
At least we might get as high as 10, possibly.
Mm-hmm. What if they did it anonymously, like they did in?
Oh, they would totally convict.
How do we make that happen? Can that happen?
I want to know. Yeah. I want him on record.
Right. No, I feel like we get a real effective result.
Hello?
I understand, but I want him on record. I want to know. Mm.
Did my mic cut out?
No, you were just on the other side of the room there for a second.
No, I think that we could have as many as 10, mm-hmm. especially with questioning. And aren't they going to have a debate on whether to call witnesses?
I think so. I think that, let me see, where's the schedule here? I've got the schedule of events. Let's see.
Because I know senators have 4 hours to ask questions via written.
Yeah, if the House impeachment managers want to call witnesses or subpoena documents, there will be 2 hours of debate by each side, followed by a Senate vote on whether to allow this. And I'm not sure
exactly.
Is
that a majority vote or just like a 51 vote?
I think all of the procedural votes are majority votes.
That could be promising, because if I were Mitt Romney, I would want to talk to some people. Hi,
oh, yeah.
How close was I to being murdered?
Well, you know who should testify is fucking Mike Lee.
Yeah, no shit.
Mike Lee.
Oh, I want the QAnon shaman.
Well, Mike
to
Lee
testify.
Yeah, sure. Mike Lee is all over the record right now in countless articles saying that he got a phone call from Donald Trump during the insurrection while they were hunkered down hiding for their lives. Mike Lee got a phone call, and it was Donald Trump, but Donald Trump meant to call Tommy Tuberville and ended up calling Mike Lee by accident. And so Mike Lee handed off the phone to Tommy Tuberville and said a bunch of things to Tommy Tuberville about voting against the certification or stalling or whatever it was. Because meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani's making phone calls of the same kind to other members of the Senate. And so now Mike Lee is denying that all of that happened. So get him on the fucking record. Testify what he heard was maybe overheard said to Tommy Tuberville, what he heard the president say in that phone call, whether the president called him at all. He seems to be denying everything. So get that motherfucker up on the stand. And by the way, ask him about mulligans while you're at it.
Yeah, no shit.
Because apparently if you commit a grievous crime, you can get a mulligan if you're Donald Trump or if you're white and wealthy and a billionaire. You know what I mean? But I mean, look, Senator Langford was apparently, and I'm reading this now, incredibly shaken up after the last video of Officer Hodges being crushed.
God, that was just, oh my God, that was horrific.
That scene alone, you want to talk about triggering? That scene, because
I turned the TV off. I haven't seen.
Yeah, I have raging.
Is he okay?
I think he's okay now.
Okay.
But I have raging claustrophobia, and to see that is like my worst nightmare: being crushed in a crowd of maniacs and not being able to break free and not being able to breathe.
And there's also a photograph now of the guy that gouged out the cop whilst gouging out the cop's eye. There's a photograph of the guy pressing into the police officer's eye sockets. And what this cop, one of his eyes was lost due to that. And so now the FBI has a photograph of him doing it and then a photograph of the person doing, you know, a full frontal shot of the guy. So they're on the lookout for that guy because this man lost his eye.
I want
cops to be testifying.
Yeah.
Law and Order GOP, look at what the fuck happened.
Hey, well, look, if this doesn't work, David Schoen says, well, why don't we just arrest him criminally?
I'm down with that. Let's go.
Let's go with the Trump defense team and their opinions about what should really happen.
Have you guys, it kind of blipped by, but did you see where a bunch of ex-Giuliani aides are like, he was drunk every night, shit-faced.
Oh, yeah.
I think it just confirms everything. But we knew that, but it's good to see it in print. It wasn't our imagination.
And Dominion finally did serve him his lawsuit. He actually has it in hand now, so that's good.
Yeah,
and
fuck
he's,
you,
he's
Rudy.
Being criminally...
They probably told him it was a wine list.
It's despicable.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I would love to be that Mater D process server.
When I think of all those times Rudy Giuliani was going around bragging, we're going to disrupt the world. And then, like, all those appearances on Fox News Channel back in 2016 before the election where he's giggling like a fucking maniac, like a goddamn sociopath on the air on Fox News. And people are asking him, what's going to come next, Rudy? And he's like, wait till you see. And he was getting information from WikiLeaks, which is a front for Russia. Holy shit, that's a whole other can of worms. But also, I wanted to mention, too, before we break, that I was mentioning Lankford shaken up after the last video of Officer Hodges being crushed. And then this reporter who reported that said that other reporters in the chamber observed Lankford appearing to get teary-eyed. Meanwhile, Senator Daines, a Republican from Montana, was comforting him and was holding his arm. So, you know, I don't know that that's going to convince them, because maybe the power of Trumpism is greater than the power of, you know, sane reactions to insane things. So it's
I would
madness.
Just want one Republican to just stand up to their colleagues in the House, on the Senate floor and say, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What are we doing to obtain the allegiance of one man and his dwindling followers?
Yep.
He's falling off. I was reading in Axios that his polling among Republicans, Trump's polling is dipping. Because, like I said, people who worship power only love you when you're in power.
That's right.
And people need to stand the fuck up, put on their big girl and big boy pants, and just be like, you've been lied to. Come with me if you want to live.
Right. You know? Yeah. What a great point. And it has to be the Republican Party and not just Trump and people with the last name Trump who are punished in all of this. They have to be banished to the margins forever, this Republican Party. And you can do that through democracy. We don't have to do anything that's along the lines of what they do, which are violent insurrections, apparently. We can just use democracy and banish the Republican Party forever. Okay, well, before we get into more things, we are so grateful that vaccinations for COVID-19 are underway. Unfortunately, while there's light at the end of the tunnel, infection rates and hospitalizations are at an all-time high across the country. In California, some hospitals are turning away patients or threatening to ration care. While we're nearing the finish line for this brutal pandemic, getting there means staying safe. For the foreseeable future, only respirator face masks provide real protection from transmission. Unfortunately, the huge demand and limited supply of respirators means we are flooded with fakes and counterfeits that do almost nothing. Well, right now, the newdealshop.com has FDA-authorized KN95 respirator masks with anti-fraud labeling on every single package that can be verified right on the manufacturer's website. They're tested in the United States by the NPPTL and provide the most significant level of protection. Their respirator masks are in stock in the U.S. and ship immediately for free. Go to thenewdealshop.com now and get verified, authenticated, FDA-authorized N95 masks shipped immediately to your home or business. That's thenewdealshop.com. TheNewDealShop.com. Thank you.
Bob Seska.
City Point, she's gone. Tell me where do I belong? She's leaving Logan tonight. City Point, she's gone. No, she isn't wrong. She never been wrong about anything. She left me for the West Coast. She was right about me.
It's another track from the Gypsy Moths. Song called City Point from their Wollaston Theater EP, now available on vinyl. Holy crap, if you got a turntable, get this album now. www.thegypsymothsband.com BobSeska.com. Link in the description of BobSeska.com, as always. Okay, moving along here on our big Thursday show. Let's see what else. More unintended or maybe intended consequences. It depends on who you are. But the Brennan Center has determined that voting rights have been restricted in 28 states thanks to Donald Trump's transitionary bullshit about how the election was stolen and it was all kinds of fraud and voter fraud and the Dominion thing and that thing and the other thing and all this ridiculous conspiracy theory crap. Well, as a consequence, and as a backlash to historic voter turnout in the 2020 election, grounded in a rash of baseless and racist allegations of voter fraud and election irregularities, legislators have introduced three times the number of bills to restrict voting access as compared to this time last year. 28 states have introduced, pre-filed, or carried over 106 restrictive bills this year as compared to 35 such bills in 15 states on February 3rd, 2020, so a year ago. Of course, other...
I told y'all to get Raffensperger's dick out your mouth. Because he is, you know, he is a, I mean, somewhat of a hero for standing up to Donald Trump and turning that audio over to the government. But he is just as busy trying to keep people from being able to do absentee voting without multiple forms of ID sent through the mail. It's just ridiculous.
Has he gone through any sort of revelation, any sort of epiphany as a result of what he experienced with Donald Trump? I mean, is he the same person he was before the election?
Yes. They know that they have to suppress Black votes. I told you guys last week they announced a committee called Stop Stacey to roll back her voting reforms and make sure she doesn't win the governorship in 2022, the very day she was nominated for a Nobel Prize.
Jesus Christ. Well, the good news is that other state lawmakers are seizing on an energized electorate and persistent interest in democracy reform, which is likewise reflected in Congress. To date, 35 states have introduced, pre-filed, or carried over 406 bills to expand voting access, dwarfing the 188 expensive bills that were filed in 29 states as of last year. Notably, 93 such bills were introduced in New York and New Jersey alone. So that's a pretty big deal. So, in the states that are not completely taken over by QAnon freaks, they're doing the right thing, you know, expanding voting rights and making it easier to vote, which should be the case across the board. There should be no doubt. It should be just as easy to go up and pull a lever to vote for someone as it is to pull up and get a hamburger at McDonald's. That's how simple it should be. But, you know, it's this ongoing battle. In the red states, it's going to be more difficult to vote. In the blue states, it's going to be easier to vote. I wonder which states will have the advantage, thank God. So let's see what else.
Any state that's got Stacey Abrams.
Oh, you know what? Let's talk about Dan Bongino for a second.
I want to sit next to him at the RNC.
I want to be at the RNC. I want to see Patricia McCloskey. I want to scream for the GOP. I want to sit with Dan Bongino.
Dan Bongino. Dan Bongino is totally screwed. Judge has ordered Dan Bongino to pay the Daily Beast attorney's fees for filing a defamation lawsuit without merit. So Dan Bongino is on the hook now for $30,000 that he has to pay over to the Daily Beast because he gratuitously sued them without merit. And this is this is the ongoing attempt, right? I mean, there are legitimate defamation suits being handed down. Of course, the suit against Rudy Giuliani and Fox News Channel and all that, the Dominion lawsuits and what have you. But these are just like...
No, he's got to learn that places like that, like the Daily, whatever, the cat litter... what is it? Just the Daily?
This is the Daily Beast. The Daily Beast they're good. They're good people. Daily Beast. I like Daily Beast. You're thinking of the Daily Caller.
Caller.
Yeah, that's Tucker Carlson.
He wants to suit against the Daily Beast.
Yeah, the Daily Beast. He lost the suit against them and the judge's order.
They're going to have really good lawyers.
Yeah. Well,
no, you need to go after the Daily Caller because none of those guys could pass the bar, and that's where they work now. Is they work for Tucker Carlson at the Daily Caller.
The whole point of these lawsuits is to rack up legal bills. It's not about winning the lawsuit. If you do win, you know, then that's a bonus. But the point of Dan Bongino suing these people, you know, a lot of the pointless and baseless baseless defamation suits that the far right and the red hats have been filing. It's all just about punishing whoever the subject of the suit is. It's about, you know, making them have to pay exorbitant legal bills and punishing them that way. So now the judge has said, no. Now you're going to have to pay all those legal bills that you forced the Daily Beast to rack up because of your baseless lawsuit. Ha and ha. On a serious note, and I do mean a serious note, I didn't know this, but
stop.
What?
Nick Luxko or Dan Bongino has to pay back the Daily Beast?
No, neither. That's Dan Bongino has to pay the Daily Beast. But on a serious...
Okay. Yeah. I was just horrified for a second. I was like, why, Nick, why did you go after the Daily Beast?
Where did you get Nick Luxko out of all of this?
There was a lot happening. You played Nick's song.
Right? Yeah. Because I said I want to sit next to Dan Bongino at the RNC. Right. So then you played his song.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why.
And then somehow you started talking about, okay, I'm on... Man, I'm sorry. I jumped the rails on that one.
It's okay. You look wonderful today.
You know why? Because we started recording the show an hour early today. That's why.
That's what it is. Yeah.
I'm not even in my body yet. I'm still digesting my breakfast. But
I was here just trying to figure out how to do a GoFundMe for Nick Luxko because I didn't want him to be $30,000 or $300,000 in debt to the Daily Beast.
No. Dan Bongino sued the Daily Beast for defamation. The judge said, oh, this is completely baseless. And by the way, you have to pay the Daily Beast attorney's fees too, because we see your scam coming from a mile away. We see it coming down Main Street. Yeah, because the whole point of the lawsuit is to rack up the legal bills on the other side. It's the Glenn Greenwald form of lawyering, where it was a baseless lawsuit, but the point is, oh, we're just going to bury you in discovery, so you're going to have to rack up all these legal bills, your legal team going through all this paperwork and doing all this diligence. And so that's the idea. But the judge has completely nullified that. So now, on a serious note, Dan Bongino has cancer.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's got Hodgkin's lymphoma. At least he had it back over the fall and was being treated for Hodgkin's lymphoma. And of course, we all make fun of Dan Bongino on this show, but in a sincere way, you know, I wish him the best in this fight against relentless fucking cancer. I'm not sure in the grand scheme of things whether Hodgkin's lymphoma is the good Hodgkin's or the bad Hodgkin's.
I think it's the bad one.
Is it the bad one?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Lymphoma
is not good.
No, lymphoma's bad.
Hodgkin's is the one that comes to younger people and is a higher cure rate. Non-Hodgkin's, I think, is the one that is harder to treat.
I see. Okay.
I could be wrong. Let me check with WebMD and find out that we're all going to die.
Well, there was a
Bob, should we check your symptoms today? What the heck is wrong with Bob?
Symptom free today, thank God. I have no aches or pains.
Except for the 5 a.m. phantom workouts in your sleep.
That's right. Thank you very much. Our downstairs neighbor thinks that Kimberly and I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and work out.
No, you're just in the refrigerator. We know what you're doing.
We're just in the refrigerator. I walked right into that one again.
Yeah,
okay. But there was a conversation on Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David where they were discussing the good Hodgkin's versus the bad Hodgkin's. And so that's why that was the origin of that particular question. But yeah, that's not good. And so we wish Dan Bongino a speedy recovery.
Yes, absolutely.
Because what's it going to be like at the next RNC without Dan Bongino? Who's Nick Luxko going to want to sit next to if Dan Bongino's not around? Okay. Oh, shit. Yeah. Where do we go from here? All right. Well, you know what? We're going to wrap up the show here because it's already been... Oh, my God. We're way late. We love to talk, don't we?
We have the gift of gab.
Yes, we have been endowed with the gift of gab. Thank you very much. Still more to talk about. Tommy Lahren, in particular. Got to talk about Tommy Lahren.
What's she up to?
What's Tammy up to now?
Oh, she
How's
got...
How's that contraption?
She got so ratioed yesterday. She just... Talk about a fucking moron. She just walked... Talk about walking into your own propeller. She just did it. She just... You know, it's like that gif of Sideshow Bob stepping on all the rakes. That was Tommy Lahren. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about Larry Flynt. holy shit, something happening in Lake Michigan that's kind of creepy and weird. That and a whole lot more is coming up on the Postmortem Show on our Patreon page. So make sure to sign up, why don't you? My God, it's only $5 a month. You get 2 Postmortem Shows every week. That's 8 Postmortem Shows every month for that $5. It's bonus content. After this music is done playing, we keep on talking, and that becomes a little bit of a teeny tiny bonus show. It's like Overtime with Bill Maher, about 20 minutes long every Tuesday and Thursday, so you get that. If you sign up for $10 a month, you get the 2 Postmortem Shows plus the Friday after party with me and Kimberly Johnson live from the refrigerator. Thank you very much. It's not from the refrigerator, literally, and it's not live. So everything I just said was a lie. That's at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or very simply BobSeskaShow.com. Meanwhile, Jody Hamilton is at from-the-bunker.com, also at sexyliberal.com with all of your favorite Sexy Liberal Podcast Network programs. And there's a brand new one signing on and like any day now. It's going to be a big deal. This is going to be a huge deal. I can't know who it is. I can't announce who it is. I can't say yet.
Can we talk about it on the members only show?
No.
I'm not going to step on
it. I think I know who it is. I think I do too, but I'm going to ask.
So when this cone of silence comes down between us and you listeners, we'll discuss it, but we can't tell you. Bye. Thanks for listening.
We know, and you don't.
Ew, David.
I almost forgot about that. Okay, yeah, so brand new Sexy Liberal program coming up. Not too distant future. I would say in a matter of days. Okay, that is it. Oh, yeah, T-Rex David Ferguson could be found at the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/theTRexReport. Also, his music
Something
at astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Yep. Can't wait. Take care, folks. Have a great weekend. See you on the after party. Bye-bye. Imagine this Valentine's Day story is you. You're parked outside the restaurant where you're meeting your date in 10 minutes. Glancing in the mirror, you cringe. Not on Valentine's Day. You can't go in with those bags under your eyes, not to mention crow's feet. You rummage through your purse saying, please tell me I have my Plexiderm with me. And bingo, there it is. You apply the clear serum under your eyes and smile confidently, knowing that in minutes you'll look fresh, bright-eyed, and years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in just minutes. It's the Valentine's Day gift you give yourself. You can try a 6-day, 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit buyplx.com or call 800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit buyplx.com or call 800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES at checkout.